relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Shot to the top of the charts everywhere, iTunes included, without really any fanfare. I just heard about it from my buddy Cash Patel. That is the January 6 choir, the people who are still in prison, just a couple of miles from where we are sitting. I showed you the footage on my Newsmax show, shockingly, every evening at 9 p.m. They say the Lord's Prayer together, and they sing the anthem of the greatest nation on God's earth, a nation where equality before the law seems to be in doubt. That's President Trump's release. The proceedings, the profits from that single go to certain of the J6 families. Please check it out right now. What better way to introduce our very special guest today for the one-on-one deep dive? I don't know how to introduce her. I mean, it's a person who has dedicated her life for the last few years to the truth and to tell her fellow Americans about what is happening to those who are now political prisoners in America. Julie Kelly, AmericanGreatness.com. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Seb. Thanks for having me. Can I tell you a funny story about that song?
Yeah.
So when Cash sent it to me the other night, I was sitting with my daughter and we played it. And she said, Mom, do you remember when they called you from the prison and sang that for you for the first time?
Wow.
Not their first time, but for me. And we recorded it. And this was maybe April of 2021. And of course, I had forgotten it in the fog of everything else happening. But we did post that. And I remember just being so moved. So was my daughter, my family. And then when we shared it on American Greatness. So I really commend Cash Patel and President Trump for doing this and bringing more attention and a very timely vantage point right now to the plight of January 6th political prisoners.
Yeah. They would like to paint him in a light that is less than flattering, but the man is doing more than, sadly, most of the GOP combined. As we go through this interview, please keep putting up there, Eric, the URL for the foundation, the Patriot Freedom Project, that people can donate to for the cause of the families who are suffering, who still have their husbands, their loved ones, their fathers in prison. So let's keep putting that up there. In the meantime, you've got to follow this lady, Julie_Kelly2. That's Julie_Kelly2 and her amazing writings at Am Greatness, American Greatness. That's amgreatness.com. And we thank Chris Buskirk for providing that platform. All right. I don't want to put you in a difficult position. We don't rehearse any of these interviews. We don't clear talking points with our guests. But we have several articles to go through that you've recently written. One of them a kind of who's who checklist of what you need to know the truth about January 6th. But given the events of the last 10 days, I have to ask you, and I know you're a regular guest, so you know we don't want you to burn bridges here on radio, but the whole Tucker Carlson footage release, Kevin McCarthy promise and so forth, there are those who have said it's amazing, especially when we see the coverage, the actual footage of Brian Sicknick safe and well after he was meant to have been killed by the January 6th protesters. We see Jacob Chansley being escorted through the building at times by more than 9 police officers who did nothing to stop him. Then we have Mitch McConnell. We have Chuck Schumer saying, don't release any more footage. And it looks like something happened. The next show, Tuesday night with Tucker, was not the show he clearly was preparing to release. Less footage came out than we expected. Talk to us about what you think's going on, and more importantly, what the consequences of the handing over of these 44,000 hours from Speaker McCarthy to at least one news outlet could be. Is this good news? Will it make a difference, Julie?
I think it will. And look, as someone who I believe was the first on our side back in May of 2021 to call for the release of all of the video after the Capitol Police filed in one of the cases that they considered this, all of this footage, highly sensitive government material, the DOJ was putting it under protective orders. We at American Greatness were like, wait a second. No. If you're going to call this a terror attack, we deserve to see all of it. So it was very gratifying to see Kevin McCarthy fulfill his pledge, really at the behest of a handful of Republican lawmakers, to release this video. I really did not think that he would. I supported giving it to Tucker, and here's the reason why, Seb. First of all, you have to be extremely knowledgeable and informed about the events of January 6th to know where to look, see who some of these people are, what their movements were, and to build a case about some sort of malfeasance. There are very few people, and Tucker is one of them, who's followed this from the very beginning. As you know, he produced the three-part documentary Patriot Purge in 2021. So he was on to this from the very beginning. And the reason why, it needed to be a surgical strike. If we had flooded the zone with all sorts of clips, made false accusations, this person was an informant, no, he really wasn't, etc., it would have been so diluted. You could see the maximum impact that Tucker's show last Monday had and the fallout from it. You don't have the Senate majority leader rush to the Senate floor the morning after and demand that Tucker Carlson be taken off the air unless there was an impact, and there certainly was. So to the extent that I think it was the right move, that it was put in the right hands with careful researchers who, yes, I assume they had constraints by Capitol Police as to what they could use. It's not like this was turned over on a VHS tape. They had to go view this because it's still considered, it's under protective orders, really, to produce any clips and really get Capitol Police approval. That has to stop. So the next step is for Congress. They actually own the footage because Capitol Police is under the legislative branch. They need to take possession of all that footage away from Capitol Police, who is a discredited, highly partisan, dishonest agency. They need to take that footage away from them, release it to whomever, including the American people, and now let us do the rest of the heavy lifting.
So what do you respond to those? And I tend to support this argument that putting all the eggs, all the footage in one basket, that's Tucker Carlson's show, is dangerous, is risky. A, we know who's on the board of Fox. We know Paul Ryan, you know, hates President Trump, caused January 6th an insurrection. And if you don't have redundancy, then if they can exert enough pressure on one man, then we lose it all. If it had been given to, let's say, Breitbart or American Greatness or Newsmax as well, yeah, you might dilute the effect, but also they can't shut down four channels at the same time. Isn't that a logical way to proceed, just in case?
You know, I love you, but I disagree, because look, American Greatness, Breitbart, whoever, we could combine our forces. It would never have reached the sort of audience and impact that what Tucker had. His show had 4.1 million viewers last Tuesday. That was the show that I was on, not because I was on, I'm not taking credit, but that's double what CNN and MSNBC pulled in, double combined on Tuesday night. So look, Breitbart, they've done some good work. No one has done the sort of work that American Greatness, that we at American Greatness has done. Darren Beatty certainly has done a lot of commendable, detailed work on this. But it would not reach the audience. And the way that it was presented, what Tucker did, especially with Jacob Chansley, he created the Ray Epps version of a wrongfully prosecuted man who became a political prisoner. People needed a sympathetic figure. They needed the truth. They needed to find out more about what happened to a man like Jacob Chansley. And now that they see it, they're willing to entertain that this is not just a one-off. This hasn't just happened to Jacob Chansley. It's happened to hundreds of Americans, now more than 1,000, who've been criminally charged in this case. So for me, I feel like it was very effective in that regard. Also, the Brian Sicknick story has been such an animating narrative from day one.
We'll discuss that next. So much to cover with Julie Kelly, Julie_Kelly2 on Twitter, amgreatness, amgreatness.com. This is America First one-on-one, patriotfreedomproject.com. If you want to support the families, that's patriotfreedomproject.com. If you enjoy our deep dives with the true experts, the real newsmakers, make sure that you are subscribed. Go right now to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcast. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends. And then don't forget, if you are America First, show it with pride. Right now, the hottest selling item, sadly, understandably, is our FBI t-shirt jointly released with Chris Plant, but this one stands for Fascist Bureau of Intimidation, and you know that's true. Get that and so much more. All of our books, the challenge coins, the new MAGA 2024 bundle, hat, t-shirt, and hoodie, all available at sebgorkastore.com. That's sebgorkastore.com. That's sebgorkastore.com. Today, we are partnering with Food for the Poor to provide urgently needed food to some of the most impoverished countries in our hemisphere. Because of interrupted planting cycles, rising food prices, and the lingering impact of COVID, the list of families unable to feed their children grows longer by the day. But you can make a difference to these families. Today, a meal-for-meal match means your one-time gift of $144 provides a family of four with food for a year. That's two meals a day for the next year for a family who struggle to get even a handful of rice or enough corn for a tortilla. Knowing your gift will never have more impact than right now, will you rescue one family, three families, or even 10 families? Go to sebgorka.com and click on the red Send Food banner. Text the keyword G-O-R-K-A to 91999 and you will get a link to make your life-saving gift. Or to give your gift by phone, call my toll-free number 855-330-4673. We are still in the Lenten season, dear friends. If you feel blessed, if you have weathered COVID, if you are doing well, if your family is healthy, may I ask you to explore the options of how you can bless others? There is an organization we collaborate with every year. It's called Food for the Poor, and they help the most destitute in our hemisphere. There are more than a billion children living in poverty through no fault of their own. Listen to the situation on the ground of just how dire it is.
Guatemalans are especially vulnerable because half live in poverty. Now a quarter face malnutrition.
This dead corn represents calamity, literally starving families. Severe drought or too much rain at the wrong time is destroying crops, and along with it, families' hopes and dreams.
Destroying families' hopes and dreams. You can make a difference right now. A one-time donation of $72 will feed two children for a whole year. How do they do that? Because Food for the Poor has the food. It's been donated. They just need to get it to the starving children. If you donate once, $144, that's four children that you will feed for a whole 12 months. Make a difference today. Go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Give Food, Give Hope banner. It's one of the most beautiful things you can do this Lenten season or any time. Remember what our Lord and Savior told us. Come unto me, the little children. You can call in your donation. It's tax deductible, 855-330-4673. Make a difference today. You are literally saving lives. That's 855-330-4673. Or just go to sebgorka, sebgorka.com, and the Give Food, Give Hope banner. Okay, let's drill down on a couple of things. We have to talk about Proud Boys. We have to talk about this amazing article that I've marked up, which is your handy January 6th fact sheet. But let's talk about the first pieces of footage, the Jacob Transley footage and the Brian Sicknick officer Sicknick footage. So with the case of Sicknick, here we have we have heard again and again and again the president, the vice president, Pelosi, and others say that police officers died that day. No police officers died that day. Only people like Ashley Babbitt were killed that day, the actual January 6th demonstrators. And now we have proof positive, do we not, that there was no violent event on behalf of a January 6th protester that led to the death of Brian Sicknick.
If I had to pinpoint the most outrageous lie related to January 6th, and there are a lot, I would point to the exploitation of the tragic death of Brian Sicknick at age 42. By all accounts, a really decent man who had served his country, was Capitol Police officer. I've been in communication with one of his closest friends who he actually texted on January 6th, said that Antifa was there, by the way. That's been lost in a lot of the coverage. Yes. As well. But Brian Sicknick tragically died of a stroke caused by two blood clots on January 7th. The next day, though, Seb, the New York Times rolled out a completely fabricated piece sourcing two anonymous law enforcement officials that claimed Brian Sicknick had been bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher by Trump supporters. Now, this provoked understandably, nationwide outrage that Trump supporters would beat to death a Capitol Police officer with a fire extinguisher. Of course, I didn't believe it from the beginning because there was still no video or pictures that even came close to showing that. But nonetheless, his death was exploited by the news media, by House Democrats, by Republicans. They held a very rare memorial service in the Capitol Rotunda for Officer Sicknick. He was eulogized by Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe and Jill Biden showed up, et cetera. So this was the most overpowering narrative in the early months of January 6th. Turned out to be a complete lie. The D.C. coroner delayed his autopsy report, finally released it in April of 2021, and admitted he died of natural causes. Then it came to, well, he died of an allergic reaction to chemical spray. That also turned out to be untrue because, as we saw in that footage for the first time, and I've seen body-worn camera footage of Brian Sicknick after he allegedly was sprayed with pepper spray. Of course, cops were hit with friendly fire because they were dousing the crowd that was kicking back into the faces of police officers, disabling them, by the way. So I've seen body cam footage of Brian Sicknick washing out his eyes. You know, he's walking around. A lot of them are washing out their eyes, trying to get their bearings. And then he went on his way. He apparently went back inside the building, and that is where he was filmed walking around. He got sick later that night.
With a helmet on, walking around, tidying things up with a helmet on his head.
That's right. Right. So, you know, he was like a lot of police officers in most of the spraying. It's important to underscore, if we're going to talk about truth and transparency, most of the gassing that went on that day was not Trump supporters using bear spray. It was Capitol and D.C. Metro police officers using what they call non-lethal munitions, dousing protesters outside the building, doing nothing wrong, adhering to police lines on the west side, by the way, dousing them with chemical spray. At one point, one D.C. Metro officer used a 40 millimeter canister of chemical spray. He misfired it. It landed in a group of police officers at around 2:26 that afternoon. They were all hit with this spray. They're vomiting. They're bent over. They can't breathe. They can't see. This caused, Seven, it's important to note, this caused the breakdown of the police line on the west side of the building. It was police misconduct and really incompetence that caused that to happen. Brian Sicknick very likely also was hit with that spray because his alleged attack was around that same time. But at any rate, go ahead.
So, but there's 2 points here that not only were they incompetent and breaking up their own security line by firing on themselves, also, they were firing upon peaceful protesters,
right,
which then enraged them because they hadn't been doing anything, and then they're being shot with chemical agent.
Seb, this is one of the most uncovered stories, and Republicans are hesitant to cover it, but it must be part of the transparency effort here. D.C. Metro Police showed up around 1:15 that day, dressed like stormtroopers, head-to-toe riot gear, helmets, gas masks, batons, non-lethal munitions. They started attacking, and I've reported on the body cam footage of these officers, totally out of control. And it wasn't even that they were using these non-lethal munitions incorrectly. They were using them against peaceful protesters. They were also physically engaging. So when you saw a lot of those early confrontations, say Thomas Webster, who was a New York Police Department, longtime cop for NYPD, used to work security detail at Gracie Mansion. When you see him screaming at a cop, calling him a commie, saying you don't shove Americans, you don't attack American citizens, that's in response to what they were doing. And I've been to trials where I've seen Capitol Police officials testify under oath. When those assaults against protesters began, it enraged and inflamed the crowd, and justifiably so.
Yeah. The place to go right now is Julie_Kelly2. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you want to make sure you never miss a second of our very special interviews with the best of the best, make sure you are following us on all social media. We are everywhere that matters. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter, Telegram. You can watch us on TV, on your Roku, or just go to salemnewschannel.com. And for my unique content, my personal Substack, that's sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my name, one word, sebastiangorka.substack.com. Did you notice in the State of the Union speech last month, Biden doubled down on his spending plans, adding even more to the federal deficit? That doesn't bode well for the value of your money. Sebastian Gorka here. Biden's disconnected view of the economy means there will be no meaningful steps taken to lessen inflation and lower interest rates. Your cash reserves and investments will be worth less, which is why I recommend calling veteran-owned Midas Gold Group to look into safeguarding your wealth with the stability of gold while you still can. Gold traditionally holds its value when economies fail, guarding against the destruction of inflation and the ruin of a recession. Don't let Biden's misguided economy wipe you out. Talk with the good folks at Midas Gold Group. Go to MidasGoldGroup.com or call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-GOLD. It's gold you can hold. MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD. If you enjoy our content, make sure to support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell. The left detests him. The left wants to cancel him. Even Walmart has gone woke and have banned his products. But if you use my name, you'll get up to 66% off his line of more than 150 products on his website, MyPillow.com. He sold 71 million of the MyPillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. He's just launched the 2.0 with even better cooling technology. Check it out with all the other amazing items. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call in your order. Treat yourself, treat your loved ones, your family members. 800-829-8468. That number again, 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A, MyPillow.com, code Gorka. So, Julie, this amazing article you have, everybody needs to read it. Everybody needs to share it with their friends. A handy January 6 fact sheet. Let's start with the very basics, math. Who was charged with what? The first couple of entries are fascinating, that we have out of 1,000 defendants, the DOJ's own update has the details that 919 of them, they weren't charged with insurrection, Julie. They were charged with trespassing. And 385 of them pled guilty to misdemeanors. Why is there nobody charged with armed insurrection? I'm confused.
Right. So this is in response to critics claiming that Tucker Carlson and others are rewriting the events. So I just said, hey, you know, crowd of science and data and statistics, here is what DOJ is saying. You have over 1,000 criminal defendants so far in SEB. Zero have been charged with insurrection. You have roughly 20 who have been charged with seditious conspiracy, which would be, you know, treason, trying to overthrow the government. I've always said if you wanted to name January 6th based on the charges, it would be called a parade, because by far the most common charge is the Class B low-level misdemeanor parading or picketing in the Capitol. No insurrection, no treason,
which armed means what? Overthrow. I go into the Capitol and I march up and down. That's what I'm charged with.
Right. Which, before January 6th, didn't you think that that was like a constitutionally protected right as an American citizen to do that?
I thought it's the people's house. And to be honest, I'm glad you asked. I was shocked, having grown up in the UK with, you know, the palaces of Westminster, spending 15 years in Hungary with that beautiful Gothic building on the Danube, which was the parliament. Every time I went to parliament, I had to have a member of parliament or his staff hand sign a permission card. It would be down by the entrance, by the magnetometers. I'd have to present an ID. They'd have to check off my social security number against the hand signed permit to come into Parliament. Then I go through the magnetometers. The first time I went to Congress as an immigrant, I walked in without showing ID, Julie. I thought, wow, that's America.
Right. Right. Well, and then for months after January 6th, it had fencing and barbed wires and National Guardsmen standing around it because I guess they were afraid Jacob Chansley or some of the Indiana Mi'kmaws or the unarmed militiamen were going to come in and ransack Nancy Pelosi's office. So what I wanted to do was just clarify, based on not just DOJ's own statistics, but where we are with convictions,
yes,
who actually died on January 6th, the handful of people who were not charged with carrying a firearm inside the building, which is zero. The only person who used a gun inside the building that day was Officer Michael Byrd, who executed Ashley Babbitt.
An unarmed Ashley Babbitt.
An unarmed Ashley Babbitt. So facts are important, and these are indisputable facts, which, as Seb, you will see, no one in the media will argue with me about it, unfortunately, because it would be nice to engage some of these lying propagandists about what they're trying to promote. So thank you for pointing that out. If people really want just the facts, some of the statistics, the data, what's happening in these trials, what police were doing, what the January 6th committee sort of overlooked, that sort of thing, hopefully that's a concise guide for people to have handy when you're fighting your next favorite family member who thinks January 6th was an armed insurrection.
Be armed with the facts. The book is January 6th. There's no other book like it out there. How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. It's by our friend Julie Kelly with a foreword by our good friend Lee Smith, the author of The Permanent Coup and the Plot Against the President. You're listening to America First One-on-One, coming to you from just outside the Insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous swamp that is Washington, D.C., from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, if you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else and failed to find relief, do what I did more than 4 years ago. Order the 3-week quick starter pack and find out if you can liberate yourself from your daily pain. It's not just people like me. It is our loyal listeners. It is our callers. People like Reggie from Florida. Here's Reggie's story. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Incredible words. Find out for yourself. There's only one way, but it's super easy. Call them right now, 800-583-84, or go to ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee. By the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me, Reggie, and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. The number, 800-583-84, ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented the MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread, the MyPillow 2.0 is the softest and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 has a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Gorka. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square for the buy one, get one free offer, enter promo code Gorka, or call 800-829-8468. That's code G-O-R-K-A. Go today. What is your message to those who think that January 6th is irrelevant, never going to happen to me, I'm not an extremist, I'm going to be fine in America, my freedoms will be unaffected? What do you say to them, Jerry?
They're absolutely wrong. This could happen to anybody. Just for speaking out, for maybe at a school board meeting or at a council meeting or at an environmental cause, this could be you. This could be your family member being put through this hell that so many other people have gone through as well.
That's the aunt of Matt Perna, who committed suicide instead of facing a six-year sentence for terrorist crimes on September the 6th, when he hurt nobody, damaged nothing. Matt Perna is another victim whose blood is on the hands of the Biden administration, Merrick Garland's DOJ, and the FBI. Let's continue our discussion, Julie, on the concrete ramifications. First things first, somebody else who died on that day is Roseanne Boyland. Who is Roseanne Boyland, and what do we know about how she died on January 6th, Julie?
So Roseanne Boyland was a 33-year-old woman from Georgia. She traveled there with a male friend of hers. She went to Trump's speech and then walked to the Capitol. From there, it's really unclear how she got to the west side, this lower west terrorist tunnel, where the most violent clashes, violent attacks by police against protesters happen. As I explained earlier, Seb, that police line fell around 2:30 that afternoon. You see police on surveillance video then pouring into this tunnel. They're leaving the western flank of the building. They're leaving it unprotected and unsecure. As police are going into this tunnel, people start to follow them in there. And there it seems like whether people were trying to break into the building or they were just sort of trapped there, you know, a lot of people didn't have cell service. They didn't know what was going on. Apparently, Roseanne Boyland was one of them. What happened was a combination of things. It seems like she and others around her, as one witness explained, were asphyxiated by this very toxic chemical gas that police were using inside an enclosed area, which, by the way, is a big no-no.
Yeah.
In terms of police conduct. This is
riot control chemicals that are meant to be used out in the open, not in tunnels where they can actually
kill you. And keep in mind, this was an hour after the building had been evacuated. Lawmakers were gone. Mike Pence was gone. Most of the staff was gone. It wasn't really staffed up that day anywhere. Anyway, Nancy Pelosi had announced these COVID rules.
Yeah.
Most lawmakers weren't there. Their staffers, as you know, don't even work in the Capitol building. There are buildings around Capitol. So the idea that police had to use such excessive force when the building was being secured, when there was no one in there really endangered. So anyway, Roseanne Boyland, it appears like, was at first asphyxiated by this gas. People could not breathe. They were vomiting inside this tunnel. Then police used their force and riot shields to push back against the crowd. It looks like she tumbled, took a fall, and was then partially trampled by either police or the protesters inside. Add to that, Seb, new video that has emerged over the past 6 or 8 months that shows a D.C. Metro police officer beating a lifeless Roseanne Boyland, who was sprawled face up on the ground outside of a tunnel, beating her on her head. Some men see this. That's when they start fighting with police. They pull her body. One is giving her CPR repeatedly as they bring her body over to other police officers, first responders, begging for help. They continue to beat the men who are trying to resuscitate Roseanne Boyland, spraying them with spray. They drag her body like a dead animal through this tunnel, face up, her shirt going up, completely exposed as these men are screaming at the police, "You killed her. This is what you did. You killed her." They then try to resuscitate Roseanne Boyland. This is new video that just came out this week. It's on my Twitter feed. It's also at Epic Times, where they tried to resuscitate her for 15 or 20 minutes. I mean, it was clear that she was gone. But police, I think, did not want the blood of two unarmed female Trump supporters on their hands. So they were desperately trying to revive her. That failed. They carted her off in some kind of a utility cart or office cart inside the building. We still haven't seen what happened to her inside the building. But what we do know, Seb, is that officers Harry Dunn and Aquilina Gonell, two of the big celebrity cops, testified they handled her body inside the crypt near Steny Hoyer's office. That surveillance video we still haven't seen. And if I ever get access to it, that will be one of the first things that I look for.
And
she did not die of a drug overdose.
Yeah, these are the deaths that were blamed on drug overdoses for more
That's
than a
right.
year, correct?
Yes, the coroner came out and said she died of a drug overdose. Clearly she did not, because now you have cops on body-worn camera footage saying, oh, she was trampled to death. She was trampled. Nothing about a drug overdose. That was another lie by another D.C. fix-it man, hatchet man, who was the coroner at the time.
I mean, that's just incredible. Let's just pause there for a second, that you have somebody who is licensed by the state to provide the truth, the evidentiary empirical truth about how people die, the biological, the chemical realities, the physical realities of how somebody dies. And then we have a coroner who, with a woman who is asphyxiated because of chemical weapons used against her, crowd control weapons, and then beaten on her head repeatedly by a police officer, that person is prepared to put his name to report that she died of a drug overdose, trying to turn her into, you know, the hand of her own fate, as if she were, you know, sitting quietly in a tunnel shooting up meth. And then, you know, that's why she died. Utter outrage. That's why people need to educate themselves. You need to read Julie's articles, read her book, and support those who are still suffering. It's the PatriotFreedomProject.com, PatriotFreedomProject.com. And the book is January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right, and follow her at Julie_Kelly2 on Twitter. And the articles are at amgreatness.com. That's amgreatness.com. More from Julie in a moment. Now, Julie, you're not a lawyer, but you've been hanging around with enough lawyers and enough courtrooms for the last 2 years. So I'm going to ask you, with that in mind, what happens, for example, Jacob Chansley, the shaman of January 6th, who gets 41 months in prison, who we now know was literally escorted around the Capitol by armed police officers who did nothing. That video footage, that exculpatory footage, was kept from his defense lawyer. Does he have any options? If you've pled guilty, is he done? Is he dusted? Is he going to be in prison for the next 3 years?
Well, he's been in prison since January 2021. He was denied bail by Judge Royce Lamberth, who called him the epitome of January 6th. Jacob spent 317 days in solitary confinement before he finally took a plea deal, pleading guilty to obstruction of an official proceeding. He was then sentenced to 41 months in jail by Judge Royce Lamberth, a Reagan appointee, by the way, who should have retired a long time ago. Jacob has been in jail. I guess he's set for release in July. So that would be 30 some odd months, you know, obviously time for off for good behavior. So it's too late to really free Jacob Chansley. Hopefully he's built enough momentum. We'll get some really good lawyers on his side. He already has a new defense attorney. Yeah. And maybe some civil lawyers will represent him in suing the prosecutors and probably his former attorney, and certainly the news media, for what they've done to malign Jacob Chansley as a domestic terrorist.
Well, we are talking to his lawyer. We had him on the show, and we need more brave lawyers like him. You've written another piece I want to discuss, The Spill of FBI Secrets. What do people need to know about the Proud Boys and this scary organization and how they've been treated in the courts?
So to your point, I joked to my editors yesterday. I said, I really feel like I need a law degree after I wrote this piece, because I spent the weekend going through 10 motions that were filed in this flurry after what had happened last week. But look, people don't want to touch the Proud Boys trial. I think it's one of the more egregious. You also have four men who have been denied bail, incarcerated for 2 years. Innocent men, we still do believe in innocent before proven guilty, before they had a chance to defend themselves at trial. What's happening in this trial is absolutely outrageous. The conduct of Judge Tim Kelly is beyond shameful. He is nothing more than a rubber stamp for this DOJ. What came out last week, and I urge people to read my piece, what came out last week was the defense team came upon thousands of messages that the FBI and DOJ tried to conceal from the defense, communications that related to the specific case that was supposed to be turned over to the defense. Seb, some of these messages deal with doctoring a report on an FBI informant, destroying hundreds of pieces of evidence.
So these are texts between agents or DOJ personnel?
They are texts between FBI agents on the FBI's system that collects these messages where they can, it's called links. So it's where, I think it's where they retrieved it, Peter Strzok text, by the way. But anyway, it's this messaging system that they use to discuss the cases that they're working on. So they deleted thousands or tried to hide them. The defense team found them, started to confront the FBI agent on the stand because she had misrepresented what she had produced to the defense. Well, DOJ starts objecting because they realize where this is going. And Judge Tim Kelly, instead of allowing it, cuts off the cross-examination of this FBI agent and dismisses the jury.
Wow.
So they don't have to hear any of this. So these motions go back and forth. There's all these ridiculous defenses as to why these messages were hidden. Of course, the old classified, this was classified information. Judge Tim Kelly then returned the spreadsheet to the DOJ where they could unilaterally decide what was classified or sensitive, which what does that mean? Whatever is bad for the FBI, that's what it means. But more egregiously, Seb, it proved that the FBI was spying on privileged communications between an incarcerated defendant and his lawyer. DOJ came back and said, if you're in the federal prison system and you're incarcerated there, you automatically waive your attorney-client privilege rights. And therefore, the government can spy on whatever you're saying or emailing and then pass it on to the prosecutors who are in charge of your case, because that's exactly what happened here.
I think they would have been proud of that in East Germany or the Soviet Union. It's no surprise that the hottest selling item at the store today is the FBI t-shirt. It's a different kind of FBI. It is the fascist Bureau of Intimidation. Tell the feds what you think of them and who they really are. Go there right now, sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com, for so much more. Julie, you've been doing this valiantly now for several years. As an American citizen, as a patriot, and if you want to support the patriots who are still suffering, it's patriotfreedomproject.com, patriotfreedomproject.com. What is your diagnosis of the judicial system and justice before the law in America right now?
The judicial, legal, and political system in our nation's capital should be the crowning jewel of American greatness and what our system of government, what our founding fathers established. Instead, it has devolved into banana republic Marxist-style territory where you have judges, prosecutors, the media, politicians of both parties who are in cahoots to condemn half the country as domestic terrorists and treat them accordingly. What's happening is an absolute travesty. It is a slap in the face of the legacy of our founding fathers. It's a slap in the face of people like my grandparents. My grandmother would have turned 100 years old on March 14th. She met my grandfather, headed off to World War II to try to save Europe, successfully save Europe. And they would be, I think about them a lot. This was not the country that they sacrificed their young life for. I mean, not sacrifice. They both lived, thankfully. But they lost a lot of friends. They lost relatives. This was not what they did that for. And so it's really an outrage and shame on Republicans and shame on Democrats who think that what's happening is okay because somehow you're still traumatized about what happened 28 months ago or 26 months ago during a four-hour political protest. So I would say the outlook for fairness, justice is very grim at this point.
We've only got a few seconds left, yes or no. Are you pleasantly surprised with the performance of the GOP under the new speaker, with the committees to investigate the weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI? Where do you stand on that, Julie? What's your verdict so far?
Yes, I am encouraged, especially about the video. I know firsthand at some of the areas that they are going to be looking at. I think they're moving a little slow, but I'd rather have them move slow and deliberately and get this right than rush into things and give our enemies even more fodder to criticize and condemn what needs to be done, public accountability, hopefully someday criminal accountability for what's been done to these people.
If Julie Kelly is quietly satisfied, then so am I. PatriotFreedomProject.com to support those who are suffering. PatriotFreedomProject.com. Her Twitter is Julie_Kelly2. The website that Chris Buskirk has created that has all her amazing articles is American Greatness. That's amgreatness.com. You've been listening to America First, one-on-one. God bless you, Julie Kelly. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
It is a platform that many say has revolutionized modern warfare. It is the unmanned aerial vehicle, the drone. In the GWAT, the Global War on Terror, it was used extensively to kill from above, to have people, operators, UAV operators, drone operators, sitting in the desert here in America on U.S. Air Force bases, linked via satellite to the actual platform flying around Central Asia or the Middle East, and killing terrorists with pinpoint precision. In some cases, like Soleimani, turning them into red mist as they were sitting in a vehicle convoy with such precision that the other people in the vehicle were not killed. The Reaper is one of those platforms, and we had one flying over the Black Sea in international airspace. Well, we had, until two Russian jets, of technology that was stolen and copied from us, of course, flew above the UAV, which cost you more than $30 million, yes, one unmanned aerial vehicle, and proceeded in a rather, I'll use a British phrase, ballsy maneuver to dump their excess fuel onto the drone to immobilize it, to make its engines fail and cause it to plummet into the sea and be destroyed and lost. We're allowed to be there. It's international airspace. The Reaper was unarmed. What was the response from the Pentagon? Here's an embarrassment to the uniform he wears, Patrick Ryder, we've heard him before, responding to the Russians destroying our military equipment in international airspace. Cut five.
You know, we are continuing to assess exactly what happened, but I think based on the actions of the Russian pilots, it's clear that it was unsafe, unprofessional. And I think the actions speak for themselves.
Unsafe, unprofessional. And they continued on to say, oh, and it was bad for the environment. No, that's not a joke. This isn't SNL. This isn't a updated version of Monty Python. The Pentagon, the Biden administration, was more worried about the fuel the Russian jets had used and dropped into the Black Sea than the actual strategic import of that event. It wasn't unprofessional. It was incredible, actually, in terms of pushing the envelope, using your fuel excess to take down another nation's $30 million drone. It's pretty impressive. And our response is, call Greta Thunberg. Let me be clear how much has changed in just the last 2 years. When we were in the White House, and President Trump was informed on intelligence briefing that there were hundreds of Russian military operators destabilizing the Middle East on the battlefields of Syria, he didn't intervene by saying we have to rebuild Syria, we have to invade it, we have to do a neocon George W. Bush intervention. No, he simply said it's wrong to have hundreds of mercenaries under the control of the Kremlin destabilizing a part of the world that is already collapsing. He ordered the then Pentagon, this is declassified, you can verify it for yourself, to kill every man jack of them. From the sky, we did. We turned them into red mist. We killed between 200 and 300 members of the Wagner Group, the special operators that are now trying to destabilize Ukraine. And nothing happened. Putin didn't shake a fist at us. He didn't give a press conference replete with bellicose language of how America was destabilizing the world. He did nothing. Because America under Trump was not to be trifled with. America under Trump was to be feared, whether you are ISIS, whether you were Little Kim in North Korea, the mullahs in Iran, or the murderous former KGB colonel in the Kremlin. We had a very simple motto when we walked into the White House. It's one I borrowed consciously from the Marine Corps, and I used as much as I could every time I was in front of the camera for the president. Under President Trump, America, no better friend, no worse enemy. Today we are laughed at, we are ridiculed by those who hate everything America stands for, the fact that we are the only nation on God's green earth that is founded on the principle of individual liberty as bestowed upon us by our Creator, because we are made in the image of our Creator. That is anathema to the likes of Putin, of Xi, of the Ayatollah, of Little Kim, of global jihadists like ISIS or Al-Qaeda. That must be destroyed. Now, they don't really have to destroy us because we are being destroyed from the inside by an elite that runs this country that hates America. Truly, the perverse situation we find ourselves in is that we are led by those who detest everything this nation has come to stand for and wish to dismantle it piece by piece and remake it in their own left-wing, radical, transgender, socialist image. But the idea that a nation that is way beyond a superpower, we are a hyperpower, nobody can come to us and close to us in terms of sheer military might, can be so toyed with that our $30 million drone in international airspace is basically urinated on with avgas until it falls from the sky and an impotent, cuckolded Pentagon talks about the damage done to the environment. All this in just 2 years. The world is a far more dangerous place, whether you are an investor in a small mom-and-pop bank, whether you live near the open border regime in the South, whether you're a child, a young girl wanting to be safe in the female changing rooms of your school, safe from a boy in a skirt who rapes you and then gets quietly transferred to another school where he can rape again, or whether you're the son, as our caller said yesterday, of a neighbor who gave his friend at school what he thought was a painkiller after he was injured in a football game, and it turned out to be fentanyl, and his friend died, so the young man hanged himself out of guilt. That is what we face today. What are you doing about it? Are you just listening to talk radio? Or are you politically engaged? I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the 45th President of the United States. This is America First. We've only just begun. Guarantee you never miss anything that we provide to you. Subscribe right now. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review. And then if you are America First, check out sebgorkastore.com. SEBGORKA store.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.